This episode is brought to you by VW Trends Magazine. Check them out for all the latest trends in the VW scene at www.vwtrendsmagazine.com. Good morning and welcome to the show. My name is Sean Smith.
And my name is Prescott Phillips, and this is Brew City Bug Talk.
Welcome back to the show. Hey, how's it going there today?
It's going good. We're on the road.
We are on the road again. We are sitting out
on the road again.
We are on the road again. I was going to try and sing that, but I didn't know the lyrics, so I didn't want to sound like an idiot. Voice. We are down in Marcella, Illinois.
Yeah.
Why are we here today, Prescott?
What's going on? Some of you already know I'm building a Baja Bug. Needs a paint job because, you know, raw fiberglass with no paint on it is kind of ugly. So we brought it down to my friend's house. We worked out a deal where he was going to paint my Baja and I was going to build him a transmission. Well, I built him the transmission. So now he's got
to fork up on his end of the deal.
Yeah, he's got to hold up his end. So that's why we're down here at my good friend's house.
Mr. Chuck Fryer. We have Chuck Fryer in the house today.
That was horrible. Hello.
Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah. Hey, welcome. Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I think the last time I was here, we stayed overnight for Dragon
Summer.
Drive.
Yep.
Yeah, Sixth Summer it was.
It was just a quick stop.
We stopped here. We had pizza and we slept for a couple hours.
Took a nap.
Right. Well, who are you, Mr. Chuck Fryer? Give us a little rundown of who you are and kind of what you're into.
I am
old.
Into racing VWs.
Okay.
Well, we already know that. That's why you're on the show.
VWs in general, but you know, we have a bus and the bug, and
hey, we went to lunch in the bus.
We did take the bus to lunch.
That was brutal. I mean, that was great.
It was a little loud, wasn't it?
Oh, that's nice. 2110 in there. Thing moves out.
2110. Not so loud up front, but you guys were in the cheap seats.
Well, there's no radio or anything to listen to, so you listen to the exhaust. But
right, that thing, and it used to be worse. So you know,
so it's good all around.
So you're a longtime Volkswagen lover, a longtime Volkswagen builder, and
it depends on what you say. Long time. It doesn't seem that long. It was only since like 1990.
Well, that's long enough.
That's older than most of our listeners.
It's not like you're calling me old or anything.
No, I'm not calling you old by any means. I wouldn't do that to your face, but behind your back now, maybe I might say
I'm the oldest one here by far.
We'll see what it sounds like once it comes out, but right now you're not calling me old.
Yeah, no worries. No, I can edit the old comment in later.
Okay, for sure.
So tell us a little bit of background. What got you into Volkswagens?
Well, in high school, I didn't like them. I made fun of my friend who did have a Volkswagen, who thought it was going to be faster than my V8 car. And he was hard shopping the J.C. Whitney catalog to get stuff for his VW. The girl I was dating at the time ended up with a 77 Bug. She was my future ex-wife. So
numero uno.
Right. Yeah. So we ended up in a pretty decent sized wreck, and the car was totaled. I ended up kind of rebuilding the car back to...
This is the Volkswagen?
Yeah, the 77. Okay. 77 Standard Beetle. Okay. And we were on the interstate, and everybody in front of us stopped, and the guy behind us didn't.
Ooh.
So we got smacked in between.
A sandwich.
We were accordioned, so it needed, you know, all four fenders and front and rear apron and, you know, hood and deck lid and all that other good stuff.
Sounds like a lot of work.
What year was this, would you say?
That was 1991, okay. One of those two.
So parts were relatively cheap still back then.
Oh, the cars were cheap back then.
Oh, yeah.
They weren't nowadays prices.
I mean, I was, you know.
Did you buy fenders at the dealership?
Oh, no. We mail ordered those.
Okay. J.C. Whitney?
I think I might have gone down and picked them up at J.C. Whitney.
Yeah, right.
But they were, you know.
We just drove past carparts.com.
The former J.C. Whitney, right?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with them now anymore, right?
No, they took the sign down.
Oh, it's still on a building.
Oh, the car parts part is, but it doesn't say J.C. Whitney anymore.
Oh, it used to say it with blue letters, right?
Right. It used to say that on there, but it's inside, or it used to be inside, because I don't think you can go pick up parts there anymore.
Oh, okay.
They have a car show there every spring.
I was just wondering,
but
because carparts.com was old
not
school.
A sponsor.
Not a sponsor.
But no. They could be.
But they could be. Very well be.
Well, they were huge, and then J.C. Whitney like bought out the name, and then the two amalgamated together or something.
I'll have to believe you on that.
I don't know how it all worked, but I didn't even know they're still in business, just like J.C. Whitney. I mean, who buys from J.C. Whitney anymore?
Well, when I would buy from J.C. Whitney, I would have to, you know, drive down to Chicago.
Yeah, that's
and,
what that's
and
what,
pick the stuff up.
Yeah, we do a road trip usually for the bigger stuff.
It would slide down the big chute. You would pick it up, you know.
Yeah, well, you'd have to. That's a rough part of town too.
Okay,
yeah.
So back to your bug story.
Oh,
so
sorry, we're off track again.
Off track. I'm trying to herd the cats here.
Early on.
So was this your first experience with building Volkswagens? Was after this wreck?
Right. Yeah. Okay. Putting that car together was my very first VW experience, and it was kind of fun. You know, it seemed
you were intrigued by the engineering.
It seemed easy-ish at the time. Like, hey, these fenders, they just
bolt on.
They bolt on with some, you know, fender beading. It wasn't, it didn't seem like a huge deal. Took the car to Mako, bolt everything together.
Get your $99 paint.
Drive it to Mako, get it painted, and away you go.
Yeah.
Very
it
cool.
Just kind of snowballed from there.
Okay.
So what was the first Volkswagen that you purchased yourself that would be yours?
I bought a 73 Super Beetle.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Sweet.
Yeah, with the typical amount of Midwestern rust on it.
Yeah, and the curved windshield.
Yeah, it had the Formula in France steering wheel.
Yeah, I bet you it drove like a dream.
Oh, I took a hacksaw to the... to the front struts, you know, cut a coil or two out of each to lower the front.
Slammed it and drove even better.
It didn't have any suspension, but you could go around a corner. you thought you could anyway.
Yeah, and it looked legit then.
For well, sure.
Instead of looking like a boat on a river, you know.
It had turbine wheels like the General Lee.
Nice.
Right.
Nice, yeah. Was that rocking the 1600 back then? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Of course. Might have even been a 1641 at some point.
Wow.
Oh.
Rocket ship.
Very cool. So how many Volkswagens would you say that you've had throughout your lifetime, like even to nowadays?
Yeah, not that many. Maybe 25.
Hey, that's
plenty.
Yeah, that's right. See, you downplayed him, though, but you're like, he's probably had like 12.
I wasn't sure.
Every once in a while, you on the ride over. He was like, this guy's
Well, I'm just going over my head all the cars you've owned, and I'm like, well, it's not that many.
Yeah. Right. I had a 54, a 59 Beetle.
Ghia.
Had the Ghia. I've had two Ghias,
mm-hmm.
The 65 and the 73 amalgamation of a Ghia, and then
I don't remember all the early on
there piles. Were some buses I owned. Mm-hmm. I owned a 59 panel bus for a few weeks. All kinds of different stuff. So notchback.
What was your fastback? What would you say was your favorite that you've owned?
The 62 ragtop.
Is that the one you're
the
currently?
One I have now? Okay. Right.
Yeah, you keep the ones usually.
I liked my 66 bus, but it needed to be sold so I could continue living house.
Wasn't that the deal with the Ghia too?
The Ghia I bought to flip.
To flip.
Oh, yeah, right. It was a painted shell.
But it was
that had
it, it
no.
Helped, it helped you out financially though.
Right. It was fun to build.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't look forward to building another Ghia. They are
Sean's building one right now.
I have one right now. I got a 72 that's full of rusty holes.
It's a giant rust pile.
But hey, it's going to be a rocket ship.
It was
a
learning experience. There's a different...
See, you're probably just like me. I wanted a Ghia so bad, so I bought one.
Right.
And once I got it, I couldn't sell it fast enough. I hated that thing. I didn't like the way it drove. I didn't like the way I sat in it. I didn't like one thing about it.
Doesn't feel like a Volkswagen,
it's
does it?
It's nothing like a... No, like a Beetle.
No, it didn't feel like a Beetle at all.
So let me ask you this, because, all right, so you have a Porsche. How is it compared to the 356? Like
it doesn't compare to that either.
The Ghia and the 356.
People think, maybe, well, see, my Ghia was a hardtop, so I'm not comparing too much. But
drivability-wise.
My Ghia was a hardtop. It was lowered on all four corners, so it's set level, but lower. But it felt like a typical European sports car, maybe a nondescript European sports car.
Yeah.
Something that wasn't anything special about it.
Yeah,
it didn't have whatever it is.
The feedback through the steering wheel I didn't care for.
I liked the way it looked.
That's why I wanted one to begin with. I loved the way they looked.
Fun to drive.
It was not fun to drive.
Right.
I thought it'd be more responsive and stuff and be just like a totally different. It was totally different in the wrong way.
Right.
So first chance I got to sell it, I sold it, and I never got another one since. And to drive a Beetle, driving a Beetle is such a unique experience that you're just going to compare everything you've ever driven to driving a Beetle.
The same with the bus.
Yeah.
A bus is much different than anything else as a Beetle
on the on the planet.
Yeah. Right. Oh my, that was one reason I sold mine last year, is because I didn't enjoy it. It was hard to drive. Like, I would get to drive.
You gotta
my
pay hands attention were when sore.
My my legs, like the brakes, it didn't have power assist brakes. So you hit the brakes and you're pushing as hard as you can, and then the steering wheel. I mean, you're driving.
It's work.
Oh, yeah. Our camper, you almost have to stand up and push the brake pedal sometimes if you need to stop in a hurry. You're holding onto the steering wheel and pushing against the brake pedal as hard as you can.
Great big drums, but it doesn't matter.
I mean, it was fun. I enjoyed it while I had it, but I enjoyed driving my Beetle better.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just my
We're all in agreement that Beetles are the best.
Right. Sure. Small window Beetle.
I mean, he doesn't own. Well, yeah.
58 to 64.
I got 64.
He's got 64. Yeah. He just squeaked it.
Yeah, see? I mean, it's still in. It's in. I don't care what you got to
say. Right. You're in the club.
Yes. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah,
for when now. Do we meet? What are dues?
You're 59 qualifies, but we might, you know, you only get 1 foot in because of the oval window.
Yeah.
The race car.
Yeah, the race car. That's such a hodgepodge of parts. It's on a 60, what is it on? A 63 pan.
I don't care.
It's
the window size. It's the window size and the belt line.
It is.
Which one is this?
The black car.
The black car? Okay. Those that follow us on Instagram and Facebook, we just posted some nice little reels and shorts about the black car yesterday. So
yeah,
check us out there.
Yesterday by the time
All right,
this
I'll
airs,
talk to you later. I'm going to go check those out.
By the time this airs, that's going to be out. You're going to have to go digging for that
Video. You guys get the idea. It's somewhere out there.
Go look for it. It's the black My Dragon Drive car.
Yeah. It was kind of cool. We were at the compound yesterday, and we pulled it out of the shed so we can get it in the garage.
To get my Baja Bug down here to Illinois, that came out of my...
It's not Mexico. It's just the state directly south of you.
Right. Yes. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes, though?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. There's one stall in my shop that's just for working on cars. So we dragged that out of there.
We had to drag out of that stall.
Right.
And pull it up on the trailer.
And then... I have my black Dragon Drive car is sitting in a different race car trailer. I had to pull it out of that and stick it in that stall so I can start working on it. I only work on cars that are in that one stall.
Makes total sense, right?
It absolutely does. That means if you just move the car, then you don't have to work on it anymore.
Right. I can just move it out of that stall and then like this. Aha, I don't have to worry. I don't have to touch anything on it anymore. It's out of my hands.
No work can be done.
It's somebody else's problem. But now the Dragon Drive car is going to get, I don't want to get off track here, but that's why we're down here. And that's how did we get here?
The Baja, we're down here.
Interstate. Mostly interstate is how you got here, right?
Yeah. No, driving. I hope you remember how we got down here.
To this point in a podcast,
How do we get in here? Okay, back on track. How did you and Prescott first meet? I guess
there we go.
That's a question that brings
us
back. I
would guess that it was at Great Lakes Dragway.
What's the time frame? Like, what year would you say this was?
Early 2000s.
Yeah. Right. Isn't that what I said?
I don't know.
Because, you asked me this earlier. When did you meet?
I don't remember what I had for breakfast.
Like 2001, 2002.
Yeah, I took my car to Great Lakes for the first time in 2001. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it would be about then.
2001, 2002, I would say. I think I had come back. I had just driven the car back from going to the Classic. Mike, Tom, and I drove our three cars out to California and back. And I got back in June, and I think in July on some weekend or weeknight, I went out to Great Lakes to see what the car would run. I'd never been to a drag strip.
You drove out to the Classic in what?
In my 62.
Yeah, but you didn't do any. You guys drove out there?
Right. Went to the car show, did all the events.
Did all the Classic.
Right. We went.
California stuff.
Let me pause you guys real quick. For our listeners that don't know, the VW Classic is a multi-day event held in California. They have a bunch of events. Manufacturers like MP will do an open house, lots of car shows and cruises. It's been going on for years. Sorry about that. Please continue.
Yeah, was it Nick's then or what?
Yeah, it was Nick's Burgers. It was Nick's Burgers and the Berg Cruise.
Right, on Thursday night you went to Nick's, and then Friday night there was something else going on.
A toy show thing going on.
Right.
And then the Berg Rally.
Berg Rally on Saturday, and then the Classic on Sunday.
Right.
So we took 2 weeks off work, and we drove, 2,000 miles out and spent the time there.
That was your...
We left on a Saturday. I think we used 4 days to get out.
Now, who was all? It was you?
Me, Mike Fritz, and Tom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tom.
And, yeah. So we drove out there, had a great time, you know. We did all the things.
And didn't something break down on the way back?
Oh, I spun all the splines out of my brake drum. Right at the gas stop in Needles, California.
That was on the way home, right?
On the way home, yeah. For, you know, like Needles isn't that far out of L.A.
No,
it's hours,
it's
right?
hours. It's you're almost into Nevada.
I had no idea what was going on. I pulled up the gas pump, no problem. I go to leave and put in gear and zing.
So how long do you think that axle nut was loose?
I don't know. Who knows? But it was a good spot to break down, right?
Yeah, not bad.
Because we had some kind of tow strap with us and towed it over to whatever hotel was near.
There's a bug pulling a bug with a tow strap.
Right.
And another bug
following. Right.
With the flashers on.
Yeah, we were three guys in three cars. We did not want to travel together.
Who planned this? This is the most...
It was a great trip all the way out
there. It does sound amazing, but man...
So we got a hotel there. It was Kimco at the time.
Yeah,
I think they're out of business. I called them up. I'd done bought a lot of parts from them, explained the situation. I said, I need a brake drum tomorrow.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's inexpensive.
Now, how did it get out to you?
UPS next day.
Really?
Ugh. Oh, yeah.
That must have been brutal.
I don't even remember.
$100.
But, you know, so we waited. You know.
Kimco's where I used to buy them crazy brake shoes.
They had the semi-metallic ones.
Yeah.
You can still find them. But
can you?
I think SoCal sells them.
Yeah, I got them on my 59.
Yep. Yeah,
59
SoCal.
On the front has them. I still have 59, still has all drums.
Every once in a while, I have to remind myself that nobody can see me nod my head. So you forgot to mention that before we started this. Had a brake drum next aid, and, you know, we just hung out there.
Now, how did you torque axle nut, though?
We had a breaker bar.
With the big socket and everything?
Yeah, we planned we knew what we were doing. Like, our cars were enough.
You would have brought a drum then.
We were enough similar that we all didn't have to bring either all the parts or all the tools.
Right. Each guy could have something.
Some tools and some parts.
So everybody was five lug?
Yep. Okay. It was 65, a 65, and a 62.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, you're all in the
other than the brake drum, we just had speedometer go out was the other problem.
Just started squeaking.
Made a terrible noise.
Oh, I hate that noise. Yeah, that speedometer just sounds like it's...
You know, in Dumb and Dumber, when they go, do you know the most annoying sound in the world?
Exactly.
That's the sound of the VW speedometer, that's the speedometer going bad.
And I like it when it starts squeaking when it's cold out, and then it warms up, right? And it goes away, and you're like, oh, this ain't so bad.
Oh, no problem.
And then you stop somewhere, and you hop in it again, and then you take off again. And I'm like, oh, my God, this thing's horrible.
I don't have a speedometer anymore. So, yeah, we took 4 days out. And we had 4 days planned coming back.
So this was 91?
2001.
I mean 2001.
Yep. Yeah. 2001, Classic and back.
Yeah. We went to, last time I was at the Classic, I think it was 2006.
And then I decided I needed to see how fast the car was. Like, we drove, it was a 2017 or 2007, depending on whether it was a 78 or 78.4 crank in there.
I thought that was the one that was in the bus right now.
That's the case, not the whole motor.
Just that case. Okay. You put 90 and a halves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a 78 stroke.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know what size.
So you got back from the Classic and then you went to the drag strip.
Decided to start drag racing that car, see how fast it is.
And he met me and the rest is history.
And here we are.
So
here we are doing a podcast.
So this was all 2001 when you first met Prescott, and it was at Great Lakes Dragway.
Pretty
Our
soon.
Listeners in Norway who don't know, Great Lake Dragway is a local drag strip, quarter mile drag racing. And
I believe it's the longest running drag strip.
Continuously. Open,
in the U.S.
In the U.S.
yeah,
and so that's right in our backyard of a good old Union Grove, Wisconsin.
Yeah, right, 45 minutes from my house.
Yeah,
it's a little bit further for me now. It used to be about 45
minutes. Yeah, it used to be from Harvard.
Right.
Sure. So let's talk racing. Under what's the name that you race under?
I recently started using Air Fryer Racing just because of all the wheelies the car has done over the years. Somebody stuck that on my back years ago. And I decided, I'm not getting away from it, so I might as well use it.
Embrace it.
Right.
Embrace it. What year did you get into racing?
The first trip to the track was 2001.
Okay.
It probably grew from seeing all the hot street cars out in California.
Okay.
And then running into some of the Corn Panzers while I was out there and chatting with those guys and then coming back. And
now, you mentioned Corn Panzers. Our listeners have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. There's a lot of corn here. So, and it's a play off of DKP, Der Kleiner Panzers.
Yeah, Der Kleiner Panzers. Yeah.
So well, the Korn Panzers are a local Midwest club.
Local-ish.
Local-ish. Spread out throughout the Midwest.
Well, it's funny.
It dragged coast to coast for a while. We had a guy, John Plow, lived in Connecticut, and Troy Palmer lived in California.
Okay.
But then we had Dave Conklin, who started it all.
He's in Ohio.
He still had, Korn Panzer is his email. Yeah. So he's in Ohio. Matt Homer in Michigan. David Ward in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And Richard Roth in Ohio.
It's funny because all the Korn is basically in Indiana.
Right.
And
there's
nobody
a
lives
lot here in Illinois.
Yeah, and but nobody lives in Indiana.
No, nobody does. Right.
You think corn, I think of going through the...
There's more than corn in Indiana.
Well, Indiana, we used to drive to Avila Dragway, and we would split down the middle of Orville Redenbacher's cornfields. Okay. He had the signs with his mug on. It says, these fields, this corn is going to be in microwave popcorn, blah, blah, blah. And you would drive for miles. I mean, it must have been 40, 50 miles straight of corn on either side. I think it's Highway 30 or 33.
You ever driven through Nebraska? That's what it feels like. Yep.
Yeah, so it's nothing but corn. I'm like, that's funny, Korn Panzers. And
Nebraska takes like 3 days.
I know, of corn fields.
Of corn, yeah.
On both sides.
At like 100 miles an hour. It's still a three-day trek across Nebraska.
So shout out to all the Nebraskan Korn Panzers.
Yes. All right, so Korn Panzers, was that the first group that you were part of, I guess you'd say, for racing?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, Sean, you got to tell them that, you know, our Beer Panzer group is in direct competition with these guys.
So we're better.
I don't know about that.
We'll let it talk on the track.
We'll let the track do the talking.
Yeah, totally.
You know, back in the early 2000s, there was so much fun, you know, back and forth between you guys and the guys in Michigan.
Oh, we would have such a good time in Milan. Oh, my God. I never laughed so hard in my life. Matt Homer would be doing something just ridiculous with all of us watching.
Oh, and yeah.
There's like, remember the picture of him? He's pulling on the steering wheel so hard to make the car go wheelie.
To get that half-inch wheelie, for sure. He willed the front end off the ground.
He willed the front end off the ground by pulling on the steering wheel. Oh, that picture is just classic. Oh, he's clenching his teeth.
That came up on a text chain in our group not too long ago.
Oh, we'll have to find that picture and put it on our
Instagram.
Yeah,
I'll let him know.
We used to have such a good time. And it's a shame because now that race is gone. It was the Michigan bug out. And that went for years. And we all kind of, and the night before, we'd have a little get together, a little party.
Yeah. And we would always have, like before Lansing.
Yeah, yeah.
We would get like a conference room.
Yeah.
And we would swap non-greasy parts.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Hang out at the bar.
Remember when we
tell stories.
Yeah, we'd bribe the bartender to keep the bar open. He's like, well, I'm supposed to close the bar at 10 o'clock. It's like, how much is stay till midnight? He goes, well, I got to make a phone call. So he makes a phone call too. We thought he's calling somebody in charge. He's calling his wife. He says, honey, I'm going to be late. Hangs up the phone. $200. I'll stay till midnight. Boom. We all pitched in.
There were 30 guys probably at the height of it all.
It was easy. Yeah, that was the late nights at before the Lansing swap meet.
So what would you say your first race car, what was the first, what was your setup?
The 62.
The 62?
It's the only one I've had.
Okay, so first 62 that you had then.
Right.
The first incarnation.
Most parts of it. So the...
Give our listeners a little background to your 62.
The 62, the first time down the track was a full car, bumpers. I think I might have taken the back seat and passenger seat out, but it had 2017 engine with a SCAT C45 cam and a set of 45 DeLorto carburetors that had just driven, 5,000 miles round trip to California and up and down all everything and came back. And it was a like mid to low 13 second car on street tires.
Nice.
So
street tires aren't the limiting factor.
Sure. You're just, they were not even like good street tires.
Right.
They were probably a pretty hard compound tire, but I was happy with it at the time.
It saved parts.
And it was, that was respectable for a car that can drive cross country.
Oh, it's respectable it was a 5-liter Mustang beater for sure.
To be able to do that your first night at a drag strip, like the first couple passes were 14s, and then you learn how to, like, I'd never done it before.
Yeah,
so you got to learn how to leave the line and, off your emergency brake. And I was hooked from then.
Yeah.
Build something bigger.
So what year was the first year you bought some slicks, some cheater slicks or whatever we were running back then?
I bought slicks in, not 02, but I know I had them in 03. I might have had
them.
Were
they the cheater slicks?
No, I bought a set of old used Firestones for $50.
Okay, 6 inch. Yeah, 6.0s.
Right, yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, everybody ran those Phoenixes. And
they weren't even Phoenixes. They were Firestones. They were Firestones. Yeah. They were like used, you know.
They were good though. They were good right down to the cords.
Yeah, the first time on those tires was at Carlsbad in California in 2003. The first time the car had gone 12s.
Wow. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and how much did you pick up just by putting slicks on?
I don't think I changed much on the engine. I might have dropped a little weight, but
ET-wise, yeah, half a second,
maybe a little more. But part of that might have been the weight loss. But yeah, an easy half second.
Yeah, slicks. Right. We always said, well, slicks are worth about a half.
Right, and close ratio, another half.
So you knock a whole second off without even touching the motor.
Right,
just by getting the car to leave and stay in the power band. And,
right.
Yeah. So you, for you guys out there building your hot Volkswagen street cars, slicks. In a close ratio box, it turns the car into a non-street car.
For sure. You don't enjoy driving your car with a 104 or a 114/4.
Yeah, 114/4 or even a 104/4.
Maybe if you live in a congested metropolitan area, you can get away with, you know, you're not driving on the highway.
Yeah, if the nearest...
But out here in the corn, when you're 15 miles from the next town, you don't want to be on a 114/4.
No, you're looking for the next gear all the time.
Right. And now the car is faster in three gears than it used to be in four.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
It's just strange.
Technology.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
So that plays into my next question. What's the fastest you ran in your...
The fastest I've gone is 11:52.
11:52.
That was the first pass after I flipped the car.
Mm-hmm.
Back up real quick. Tell me a little story, because I've heard the story from you, Tayu, but tell our listeners
how. Well, we're the only two in the story. So. Right.
Well, yes.
I'll let Chuck tell the story.
Tell us the story of how you flipped the car.
I ended up upside down at Great Lakes at, well, you know, over 100 miles an hour.
What year was this?
I don't know.
2006, probably 2007. Somewhere in there. Because I got the car back together in 2009.
2006, that sounds like a good number.
2006. I ended up upside down at the finish line.
So you're running the drag.
It was the
you're
finals.
You're lining up, you're running.
It was the finals in Import Wars.
Right. I was lined up against Prescott, and he left because he dialed a little slower than I did.
Yeah, this is my old pan car.
Yeah, your pan car against my street
car. My OG pan car. Weighed a ton, ball joint beam, the whole works.
And so he takes off, and I think I felt like I caught a bad light, and I just hammered everything I had. And I think I got to the line before him. I don't remember for sure.
I don't remember how it ended up because we didn't even care at that point.
I don't have a time slip from it or anything. I know that I hit the brakes, or at least I think I hit the brakes pretty hard.
So you're explaining this to me earlier. You were trying to slow down your car.
I wanted to pass Prescott, but not by too much.
Right. Okay. First thing you got to do is get to the line ahead of the other guy, and then
not too ahead.
It's a bracket race, so you can't go faster than you're dialing.
So you're going down the racetrack. You pass him. You get to the line. You didn't want to get down there faster than your dialed in time.
Right.
So you hit the brakes, and when you hit the brakes on
your
Beetle,
all the weight goes forward.
So all the weight goes forward.
Back end comes up a little bit, and being a swing axle, the rear tires kind of tuck in
underneath, and that caused the car just to.
Oh, it snaps. It'll snap around on you without.
I don't remember what happened. I remember somebody had a picture of it upside down on the racetrack.
Didn't somebody have a picture that I think totally sideways?
Maybe.
I don't know if it was right side up or upside down.
I don't know. But
somebody had a picture of it. I think from the guys in the tower, somebody down at the end of the track had a picture.
It was a turtle, and it almost just spun on its roof for a little bit.
Yeah, I got to the other end of the track, and I was ahead of him the whole time. I'm like, okay. Where is he? I'm in the turnaround. I'm getting out of the car. I'm like, where is he? Where is he? And I thought at first something happened. He broke, you know, motor blew up, something like that.
Or I just went past you in the sand trap somewhere.
Yeah. So I'm looking down the track, and all I see is Chuck's car on his roof spinning like a top. And my jaw just dropped, and I just started running. But he's eighth of a mile away from me. So I'm running. By then, he was already out of the car, and wife number two was freaking out.
Right.
It was
how bad was the car? Was it totaled completely or what?
Kind of totaled, kind of not totaled.
You got very lucky.
Right.
On what got wrecked and what didn't get wrecked.
the egg shape of the beetle really holds up well in a rollover.
Yeah.
And
did the glass even break or anything?
No glass broke. No glass popped out.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Nothing. It had a...
The door's still open, right?
It had an RLR. Yeah, door's opened. Yeah. And it had a roll bar in it, but the roof never touched the roll bar.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I don't have a roll bar in the car now, because I've rolled the car and the bar never touched the roof. So
that's useless.
Right. Yeah, useless garbage. Who needs that?
That's extra weight. That's a bar that my head's going to knock into driving down the road.
Yeah, things are more trouble than they're worth.
But yeah, I don't remember what happened. I remember releasing my seatbelt and being surprised that I fell. I was just ready to get out of the car.
Yeah, you jacked your neck and, up and landed on your
release,
head.
You release your belt, and all of a sudden I fell towards the roof because car's upside down. I'm like, well, this is surprising. Oops. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I scared everybody a lot.
You know, they pull you into the ambulance and check you out and everything else. And, you know.
What year is it? Who's the president?
Right. So somebody just come down and flip your car and get it back? Oh, yeah.
I think they just take a half dozen guys and push it over.
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, and that's what screwed up the fenders and stuff. Oh.
It did a decent amount of damage just rolling it back over on its wheels.
It did probably another 20% worth of damage.
So did they drive it out of there or tow it out of there? Or how
it rolled, right?
Yeah, it got pushed off the track and we pulled the trailer down there and pushed it up on the trailer, right? Oh. Yeah.
And you weren't injured at all other than sore neck from falling on your head?
The stinger off and the motor still ran.
Yeah, the stinger got folded over when it brushed up against the wall.
Right, it got close enough to the wall that the stinger bent 90 degrees sideways, but none of the apron didn't hit the wall or anything.
And that's a shame. You didn't even save the apron. Right. You didn't need it, and it got saved.
I sent it down the road with the body shell when I redid the car.
Yeah, right. So the car got rebuilt with a new shell. Now, mind you, it's a sliding sunroof car. The new car and the old car.
It was easier for me to end up buying a replacement shell than it was to repair the damage on the body shell.
Once the body gets folded by the gutter, the drip rail, it's impossible.
Unless you're a really good body guy. And I'm not a really good body guy. Nobody's... I'm a hack body guy. So.
Oh, don't tell me that. My Baja Bucks are getting a paint job.
Yeah, but I'm not doing extensive metal work.
He's not having to hack anything.
Oh, it's not going to be a show car?
This isn't Ken Diggett design here.
Oh,
not a sponsor either. Could be.
I wish it was. Yeah. No, I that's totally what I was looking for anyways. But
so the car still has the same pan, same
you're running this, but so your new car now has a bunch of your old parts.
Exactly.
Okay.
And a replacement body shell. It has one of the original doors, the same hood, the same deck lid.
No, it's a convertible deck lid, so it's worth some.
It was a fiber. It's a fiberglass.
Yeah, but still, it's money.
It's money. Yeah, but it didn't nothing happened to it.
Yeah, nothing.
The hood opened and closed just as good as it did after the crash, as it did before.
Now, the original car was, what's the official name of that color? Seafoam green or whatever?
Turquoise. It's turquoise? L380 turquoise.
Okay, that's the car that rolled over is that. And then
and that's how it was from, that was its original color from the factory. Now, it wasn't its original paint job, but that's the color it came.
Right? Yeah, so you didn't have to paint the dash and stuff.
Right. I did. It was all stripped down to metal.
Okay. So now the new car gets a color change. What? Why?
Because I'd already paid once to do the green car. I'm not going to pay I'm not going to pay all that money again to redo the exact same car.
Oh,
as well have something a little different.
So you picked out the what is that terracotta color called?
That's coral red. 351.
Coral red.
Coral red.
Why that color?
I kind of liked it.
I like the color. It's cool. You know, both of the colors are like they're my number one and number two favorite colors.
They have a timeless kind of look to them.
That looks like an old car because there's no new cars painted that color.
No, not at all. Like your race car, your pro stock car. Yeah, is in that same.
It's that stupid green. Right. That
timeless,
old,
beautiful.
Neither one
green.
Of them are really pastel or really bold, but they.
It's a single color.
They kind of capture that.
No metallic
era of the '60s.
Yeah,
and no here metallic. I'm Bruce City Bug Talk. We talk colors too.
Well, he changed the color.
What does
of the car?
It for you?
Right, I changed it
he
for
changed
that
it
because I, you know, it was an expensive mistake, and I'd already had the green car.
Mm-hmm. Might as well make a new car.
And sometimes I'm like, well, maybe I. you know, maybe I'll redo it again and go back to green. But
I would not.
Now, when did the other car come into play? Remember, you built a race car or only
the black car?
No, the black car that ended up
the blue, the blue car, yeah,
the Impala color.
we were racing Import Wars, and I needed a car for the next month.
Yeah.
So
that was David Ward.
David
car,
Ward
right?
had his car for sale.
He probably wishes he still had it.
I think he does. Yeah. a deal was struck, and I drove up there and picked up that car.
We got to get David Ward on the show.
And took that body and put it on my pan. I bought like a rolling shell, if I remember right.
So you got a pan.
I got a pan with it.
Okay.
And but I just took the my pan. I knew that.
Right. It was all done.
It worked. It was ready to go.
Right.
So
except for the problem with the spring plates, with the rear suspension travel,
with the tucking issue. So
that should be addressed, but it didn't get addressed. Not in that car, anyway.
So I stripped everything off and took the body shell off of the pan, and then went and picked up his car, moved the body over, and then. Rewired it enough to be a race car.
Right.
You know, it was like 3 weeks to the next Import Wars.
Yeah,
I had to have a car.
For our listeners, back in the early 2000s, Great Lakes Dragway, which we keep bringing up, had a monthly series called Import Wars. And it was one race a month for the whole spring, summer, fall. There's seven? There's six or seven races a year. And it was monthly.
April through October.
Yeah, April through October. And we were all part of this Import Wars deal, and we were the Volkswagen contingency, and there was other things, a lot of Hondas. This is the big
Mitsubishi.
Import.
Yeah.
It was the big import race thing
in the Midwest, so like around around our area.
Well, when did Fast and Furious
and they use,
come out?
Yeah. They used Import loosely, because there were, every once in a while, you get a V6 Mustang.
The guy with the GTO?
Right, yeah.
Oh, that guy was old. He was so, it's imported from Australia.
Right.
Like, oh, really?
It's an American brand.
It's got a 6-liter LS in it.
Yeah. Sorry, you're still slower than our Volkswagen.
So you guys were all part of this Import Wars. And so it ran for the year. And then like at the end of the year, you
got nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. It was
bragging rights.
Yeah, bragging rights. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun doing it.
It's fun to be in that instead of just going to a race here or a race there.
Yeah.
They had a point system.
Yep,
and you could win, but you just didn't win anything.
It was just right. You were leading the points. Whatever.
And you could win a few bucks each month.
Yeah, and it paid
right.
You know, it paid $500 to win or something.
Okay.
Like that.
So there was some,
it paid good.
Yeah,
there was some incentive
and it
to
never
go
went,
there and do
it
this.
Never went a million rounds.
Okay.
I mean two,
especially in the quick cars.
Yeah, the quick cars are three.
You go four rounds.
Four
max.
Rounds got you, yeah, max. Right. Sometimes three rounds.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you won $500. I mean, that's pretty easy money.
Right.
So that black car was the fastest pass I'd made.
Now, why did you paint it that Impala color? What was the deal there?
Because my very first car was a 64 Impala that my granddad bought. My granddad bought brand new, and I got it hand-me-down when I was in high school.
Yeah,
and it was kind of a cool color, so I just kind of wanted to.
I don't think
bring
it translated well to a Beetle, though.
It didn't, but the thought was there.
You
sentimental value.
Yeah, gave it a
but
shot.
But I did that over the the fall after that season was over. But like the black car, you know, we came back 3 weeks later, or maybe it was four.
Right,
and I didn't know what the car was. It's a kind of a different car, right?
Yeah.
And I had said, well, during qualifiers, we get three qualifiers. I said, I'll just kind of, I'll leave easy and
baby it.
And maybe make a half pass, see how the car feels, right?
Yeah.
It's the fastest I'd ever gone.
So that was the 1153.
1152. Because I pulled up there and your brain kind of switches. I couldn't get back. It didn't switch back to mode.
Yeah.
It got up there and your fingers on the button and your foot's on the throttle. And your left leg goes, you let go of the button, and pretty soon you're at the finish line. You forgot.
Yeah, you look for the shift light, and you shift light, shift, and you don't even realize.
And then, second nature, you get back in the zone,
and
you're
I
there.
Get back to the pits, and it was either you or Steve said, what happened? You were supposed to take it easy.
You just crashed this thing a month ago.
Right. I forgot that.
He said, I just didn't break at the end. I just ran balls out.
Yeah. So what happened to that body?
That ended up, after it got painted, I had kept the floor pan that I got from David, and then I put it back on that floor pan and sold it to somebody as a rolling shell again.
And it just disappeared.
So I don't know where it went.
Did Adam Cocky end up with them?
I don't. It went out of state to somebody at some point.
Okay.
I got the deck lid
Why is the deck lid here then if you sold the car?
Because it had the art on the back of it. I wanted to keep the art. I told them that you don't get
the corn pans are
the
art.
Corn pans are art, yeah. Exactly, right.
You don't get the deck lid.
No, I wanted to keep it. So, you know, yeah. It's a good wall hanging.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. All right.
What are you guys into now? What are you racing as now? Tell me a little bit about...
We should talk about Dragon Drive stuff.
That's where I was going at.
Nobody wants to hear about Dragon Drive stuff.
Well,
right?
Here's the deal.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning into this episode. Have a good
okay. Here's the deal.
It's my latest obsession.
What exactly is your Dragon Drive?
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, what is the Dragon... For our listeners that maybe haven't tuned into our prior episodes,
give us a little... It's a week-long road rally and drag race combination.
Okay.
Where you have five tracks, five different days, and usually a couple hundred miles between tracks. So you make your best pass you can that day, pack all your stuff up, and drive 200, maybe 300 miles to the next track.
Right.
Get a hotel room, you know, take a nap, and...
That's what we were talking about earlier. One of the naps were taken here at Chuck's place.
So when you're saying
in between tracks, because Chuck's house is kind of, where were we in between?
We were between Indianapolis and Byron.
Yeah.
Okay. It was 20 minutes off the
route.
The route. And so we would just stayed here. But that was the day that you lost your fuel pump.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We were running behind schedule by two or 3 hours.
Yeah, I remember eating pizza and my eyes were shutting half the time.
Right. We had time to eat supper, take a shower, and go to sleep.
Go to sleep and then get up in the morning. And then in the morning,
my engine locked up.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? You guys got
We were on our way here, and I'm like, that's the Shell station that Chuck coasted into.
4 miles down the road, yeah.
Four miles down the road. So this is what day number into this race?
Day three.
Day three into the racing.
Day three, Chuck was done already.
Right.
Wow.
Now, mind you, this is your first Dragon Drive, right?
Exactly, right.
And he was just doing this because I had already done...
You talked me into it.
You
told me how much fun it was.
I did Drag Week in 2017 and 2021.
And this was 22.
And I said, Chuck, you got to try this.
I didn't think my car... There's no way my car can drive that many miles.
And I'm like, dude, my car is worse.
I just thought it would get hot.
Yeah.
So I added an oil cooler, but that's all I did.
And I'm driving with super flows and all kinds of stupidness. And I'm like, dude, my car makes it. It doesn't blow up. It doesn't overheat or anything. So... He's like, okay, well, I'll try it. Well, I'm the one that planted the seed, and I thought, oh, he broke his car the first time.
That seed grew quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, and now
how many Dragon Drive events have you been to now?
Oh, just two now.
Just two now?
Right.
And then you're coming up on
on our third, and I would like to do two this year. I'd like to do six summer, and if everything goes well, I think Prescott and I will do Drag Week in September.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be co-pilot for Drag Week in September.
Very cool.
Yeah, we're not registered, but... We're going to squeak in.
Okay. We'll see what happens.
Right. So now, backing up. So your first run out, you blew your motor on...
Not until day three.
Day three.
It was a fluke thing. I really think that chunk of piston skirt had been in floating around because that motor had been together for 10 years.
Yeah, okay. It could have been there. It's five of those.
That piston skirt chunk could have just been floating around for a long time and finally got sucked up, right?
Okay.
And it went in the oil pump and broke the tang off the back of the oil pump. And
No oil pressure.
So I, you know.
So were you able to salvage the block and most of, or did you?
We salvaged the
heads.
The top end, yeah.
Okay.
So I ended up.
The head's in a cam, I think, right?
I saved the cam, and I don't have that cam in the motor anymore.
The
heads were saved and the barrels.
Okay.
The barrels are still on this engine now.
Right. The pistons, rods, crank, case.
All gone.
And so you came home and you're like, oh, that was such a good time blowing up my motor. I'm going to do it again next year.
It was really fun to be part of that big adventure. People don't understand. There's lots of really fast hot rods. You're all driving together. You just felt it was kind of fun being part of something, and it was a completely different type of racing. You don't make a pass, go back, sit in the pits, you know, wait for next round, cool your motor down. Like you make a pass. Hopefully you get your best one in first, and then you get to...
You continue on your adventure.
You get to continue your suffering adventure.
Which
wasn't bad. The drive was pretty good.
So you guys were explaining this to me earlier. So you're not just going from, I go to this drag strip and I'm driving straight to the next drag strip. They make you...
Take a specific route. You don't just take the interstate the whole way.
Please turn off your cell phones during recording. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry about that.
Welcome, 1980s called. No. They want their ringer back.
Now, from St. Louis to Indianapolis, there was a fair amount of interstate, but they try generally to take you on state highways.
And,
and they have checkpoints too, right?
You have to make each checkpoint, not only each checkpoint, but you really are supposed to take the exact route each turn by turn. They give you printed directions.
Okay.
So it's like a road rally.
Okay.
You're supposed to take the exact route so everybody drives the exact same miles distance on the exact same road.
So but it's not timed. You don't have to worry about it. I need to get to this next race.
You just got to get there to the next track by the next day.
Okay.
And some of these people are driving all night.
And some of these guys, and they're driving the next day, they don't get to the track until the track's about ready to close the next track on the next day.
Yeah, they were rebuilding the transmission in the bathtub at the hotel.
There's guys that have a cherry picker and have swapped engines on the shoulder of the road.
Yeah, that one guy was doing it in a rest stop. Remember
oh, my goodness.
He had the heads. Yeah. He had the heads and intake off.
He was the lucky one. I mean, guys have seriously been on the shoulder and had an engine crane out and pulling a block out.
Yeah, at least this guy was doing it in a rest stop where there was a bathroom and a vending machine.
Right.
I mean, we've seen it all. I mean, these people they got the whole car apart. It's just amazing. But like Chuck was saying, the camaraderie, the adventure.
It's a different kind of racing.
People are very cool. It's laid back. And the reason it's laid back is there's no money to win. You go,
costs you money.
It costs you a lot of money. It's like, well, what does it cost to enter? I'm like, $500. Well, what do you win? Nothing. I'm like, what? This is the stupidest race ever. Yeah, I know. It's the stupidest race ever, and it sells out in 10 minutes every time.
Sounds like a blast.
Some events you'll win a helmet or a guitar or something.
Or a jacket.
A few of the top class
winners. But that's for the guy that spent $500,000 on it.
Right.
I'm serious. $500,000.
So what was year two like for you then? So you get back, you got a new motor. You got
a whole week.
What did you do to the car for year two? Did you just replace the motor? Or did you motor transmission? Do some tweaking?
No, transmission was fine. Just ended up building the same engine with a slightly different camshaft, same heads, same compression. Just put it all back together. You know, different set of internals, but nothing spectacular about them.
Right.
What were you running year two?
Year one, the car was quicker than I thought it would be. In St. Louis, it went like 12:10, 12:15, something like that.
Yeah.
And then we got to Indianapolis, and it went 12:04. And the weather was cooling off. We were headed to Byron. I was floating above the car. Like, we were driving on the road.
He was going to run an 11.
It was going to run an 11, and then it locked up.
And then it wasn't going to run an 11.
There was no more 11. So then that was my whole goal for 2023.
Round two, the next two?
And he almost ran an 11.
What did you run?
I averaged 12:08, I think.
Yeah.
Because day one, I got, I either got in my head or got distracted.
We were very distracted.
There was just people all over. And we were, it was day one, and we were talking to friends.
Was that the day we were talking to somebody?
Everybody, yeah.
Yeah.
I decided it was a great idea to change the jets and the carburetors before we made any passes. Because
why not?
Because why not?
Got nothing else better to do.
And I didn't tighten down one of the jet stacks, the idle jet stack. And the car just coughed, and it was not happy all the way down the racetrack. It went like 1280, 1278, something like that.
That's not a bad run for having...
But in testing, the car had gone 1190s.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I knew it had, 11.
And it ran 11s the whole rest of the week.
Right. And I had came back. People are like, well, why didn't you fix it and make another pass? And the reason was I had no idea what the problem was.
Right. You didn't realize it till like...
I needed like the drive, the whole drive to the hotel to run all the scenarios through my head.
We didn't get back to the hotel till you figured out.
And
what
then
you
I'm
did.
Like, I figured out what it is, and
never
pulled
the
deck lid off, pulled the covers off, and there we were. The idle jets were just bouncing around in the holes.
Yeah, and lucky gravity kept them in.
Well, yeah, and it had the little screens.
Really, you put the screens back on?
Yeah, it had screens on. So
that
might have kept them in there. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
it would have been tough to find idle jets and idle jet holders.
Oh yeah,
I might have had the jet. I had the idle jets, but I don't know if we had a head jet holder.
Yeah,
we
would have to.
You're not going to find an idle jet holder for an IDA in
Well,
so did that kill your ET for the rest of the run? So it, you're kind
of the rest of the week. The car went 1185, 1185, 1186.
Oh,
it was a bracket car the rest of the week. Like it was within a, it was less than 200ths.
But since you set that 12, whatever that was 80,
that really,
was that the year I was losing the cam?
That was the year before.
Six summer,
right?
Six summers when I lost the cam.
Yep. Yeah, it was. That was the one that you lost the cam where you were trying to make passes in Iowa and the car was just,
spitting its butter.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing wouldn't leave. I would dump the clutch and the thing would almost die. And I'm like, I lost both exhaust lobes off the cam. I lost,
didn't you lose like 125,000?
125,000. I just kept adjusting the valves. adjusting valves. I'm like, it's ticking a lot. Just let it tick.
Tighten them up.
We're rocking and rolling. Yeah. So it's brutal on parts.
I think that those idle jets being loose and driving that far might have been what one of the determining factors spots on my bearings. Now that doesn't account for the shrapnel that went through this summer. That was probably my fault for not getting the case clean enough. But those
the weird spots.
Yeah,
Chuck was just gonna do a top end on the motor, for winter. And then he
pulled it needed valve guides. So
yeah, it needed valve guides. It's huffing a lot of oil. So then Chuck decided, well, I got it this far. Let's pull the rod off with the case still together, right?
No, I decided you had me convinced that my lifters needed attention.
That's what it was, because my lifters were all gone.
So I looked down through the sump and I could see a couple little pits.
Oh yeah, right.
And
right.
So to keep little pits from turning into big pits. I split the case.
Yeah.
And then I found, the main reason the grooves are there is from, machining stuff left in the
junk
left in the case.
Junk coming through.
And I found a little piece left in the oil galley from the rear main going down to the cam.
Yeah.
I found a little piece in there. Mm-hmm. So I did a surgical cleaning of the case this time.
Right. Like but it had some weird spotting on the bearings. What is it?
Like looked like little water spots.
Yeah,
or
it would look very weird.
The best answer I've gotten from the oil analysis guy from Driven Oil is...
Not a sponsor,
but they could be.
they could be.
Which is,
semi-likely,
actually.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Oil is contamination, and I had talked to him about my idle jet problem. He's like, that fuel could have washed in there.
You could have got the fuel mixed in with some way too much gasoline.
Right.
Was the oil high? Oil level high?
I don't remember it being high.
Yeah, I don't remember it either.
But I had enough coming out the valve guide that I was having to add oil in anyway.
Yeah, so you weren't sure.
So you're back this year with a brand new motor.
Just fired it up a couple days ago.
Yeah, it's still on the lift. When we got down here, you were showing us it and gave us the walkthrough of it.
Yeah.
It's looking pretty snazzy.
Yeah, it's looking good.
New set of heads. We're looking for more horsepower.
What do you? What's your ass gauge telling you that it's going to run this year?
Well,
what are you shooting for?
53.
I want to be in. I should run 60s. I mean, the math says it'll run a 45.
Okay,
so 11:45.
But I don't know. I don't. That's internet math, right?
Okay.
That's extrapolating stuff from last year's times and weight,
and then
adding horsepower in.
Mm-hmm.
And I figure I'm going to get 15 more horsepower, maybe 20. We'll see what the heads do.
Mm-hmm.
Did you lighten the car up at all? You do anything?
I'm hoping to lose a couple weeks. I'll take it to the scale.
Okay.
But hope to lose 30 pounds out of it.
So 30 pounds less, a little bigger
motor. Maybe 40 pounds. Maybe I'll lose 10 pounds. Yeah.
Yeah, never know.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of rice cakes.
Right. So you're going to be all back in action, all brand new for this year.
Yeah, this year.
Lighter weight, more horsepower.
Hey.
Yeah, Chuck and I are registered for six summer.
Yep.
That's in June. And we're both coming with fresh stuff. I got my motor back together, a new cam, tool steel lifters.
New set of tires.
I'm going to run slicks instead of my drag radials if I can fit them on the car. I think worst comes to worst, I'm just going to peel them tires off those Urcos and put them on them cast aluminum wheels.
Okay.
And I know it'll fit. I'm only worried about the back spacing.
Right.
If the back spacing is the same, then I can just bolt
them. I'll volunteer Steve's Urcos and his DOTs for you.
But that's wide five.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Chevy.
Sorry, Steve. You're going to have to keep your tires.
Yeah.
So if any of our listeners are out there listening to this and they want to come check us out, between June 9th and June 14th, you guys will be running at the multiple different racetracks throughout the Midwest here through the Sick Summer Racing.
Yep. You can go to SickTheMag.
SickTheMag.com.
SickTheMag, yes.
SickTheMag.com.
And they got the schedule there and the locations that they'll be running in. It's
Google
pretty cool.
Will get you there.
Yeah, Google. Just Google the event and you'll be able to find it.
Yeah, there's also a Facebook page about Drag and Drive. What's it called? Drag and Drive? VW Drag and Drive?
Yes.
Check that out. We'll be posting a bunch of stuff. And there's a bunch of Florida guys and just nationwide guys on that. That's a pretty cool deal. What's our Facebook?
Our Facebook, of course, is Brew City Bug Talk on Facebook. And then we also have our Instagram account, Brew City Bug Talk. So feel free to check us out on either one of those. And we'll be posting stuff throughout the upcoming months.
Yeah, Sean puts reels on and Instagram videos and all that good stuff.
Build up our social media presence. So.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And we also have an email. You can always email us at...
Are we doing the wrap-up now?
I'm just...
You're getting ahead of yourself. You're doing the wrap-up already.
Oh, sorry.
I thought this was just halftime.
You can keep talking.
Ready for the halftime show.
No, I mean, I do... We are getting close to about time, so I mean time flies when we're having fun.
Chuck's a busy guy. He doesn't need to jibber jabber with us on
I like jibber jabber and you're kind of cool all the time. I appreciate it. I mean, but yeah, okay, all right, well, we'll do the wrap up.
Okay,
if we want to find you, where can somebody go on the internet and check out Air Fryer Racing at?
I'm not on the internet.
Send a letter, snail mail to
Air Fryer Racing on Facebook or Instagram. I'm not 100%.
I'm going to coin that. It'll just come to us.
Chuck has air fryer t-shirts. Do you have any more for sale?
I do have some, and I'm getting more higher quality shirts printed. So
great. And you got stickers at all?
Stickers. We got stickers.
Got all kinds of cool.
Do you got a website selling these, or when we find you, we just got to come to you?
No, he was doing it on Facebook.
Doing it on Facebook. On Marketplace or just on Air Fryer Racing page.
So feel free to check out Air Fryer Racing on Facebook and
Instagram. Speaking of stickers, we got stickers.
Yeah, we got stickers now, but like they're always in your pocket.
These are some pretty good looking stickers.
Well, I'm the only one handing them out.
Well, as soon as summer comes along, we start to go to more events, I can start handing out stickers. But right now, the only people I'm giving stickers to are you and me and maybe Chuck.
Oh, that's fine. We got to start somewhere.
Yep.
And what about our email?
So feel free, if you liked your show or you got any comments about the show, feel free to email us. We are at bcbugtalk@gmail.com. We've actually had a couple of people reach out to us, so thank you very much for sending us those emails.
Yeah, I'll answer all the questions you guys have. If you have any ideas for the show or if you want to be on the show,
feel free to give us an email.
Yeah, give us an email. Or if there's somebody you want us to contact and say, hey, this guy would be perfect for the podcast, reach out to us and tell us about this person.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening, and I hope you guys have a good day.
All right. Thanks.
All right. See ya. Peace out.
Peace out.
Don't forget to subscribe to VW Trends Magazine for all the latest and greatest in VWs around the world. Visit VWTrendsMagazine.com to subscribe.